You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic this month in WordPress and Tech, our monthly roundtable show. This is episode 959. In this show, we always discuss the best WordPress and tech stories of the month. I've got my normal panel with me. I think Spencer just put his disguise on. And we've got a special guest panelist. We've got Robert Duval with us. We've got some great stories. It should be a great show. I'm going to let... Oh, everybody's put their disguises on. I have no disguise. I'm going to let our special...
I'm going to have to do this. How's that?
Yeah, there you go. Right. I'm going to let our special guest introduce himself. Robert, would you like to introduce yourself to the tribe?
Oh, yeah, I'm Robert DeVore. I've been a WordPress developer for about 20 years now, and I'm building a static site generator and a bunch of other cool stuff. I'm just having fun out here living the dream.
Well, that's one way of putting it. I've got Spencer with me. Spencer, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, checking my mic. Spence from WPLaunchFi.com. I think Robert's not on the right mic still.
Well, can you tap your mic again?
Me?
Yeah, tap your mic again.
Hello, am I in the right mic? Let's see.
Yeah, you're on the right mic.
I think
Robert sounds okay.
You just turn his gain up.
Yeah, you just need to turn your gain up a bit, Rob. They've been saying that to me for years as well. Mark, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Mark Benzikane. I'm with Main WP, and I'm out here on the West Coast, and been in WordPress for like 153 years or something like that. So,
are you enjoying the dream, Mark?
You know, dreams, nightmares qualify as dreams. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, there we go.
Enjoying is a sliding scale.
So. All right, there we go. And I've got my ever-patient co-host on my regular podcast, or two podcasts, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure thing, Jonathan. My name is Kurt Von Annen. I own an agency called Manana No Mas and work directly with Jonathan at WP Tonic. And Spencer didn't get a chance to say he's with WP Lunchify.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Like I say, we're going to be discussing Robert's recent little discussion with Kevin Gehry. That should be interesting. We're going to be discussing Google's and Facebook's legal problems. Will they lead to anything? We're going to be discussing the boss's attempt to unblock people from Twitter and a host of other little stories if we get to them. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. Should be a great show. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of this show, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
We're coming back, folks. Before we go into the discussion, I also want to point out we've got a fabulous created list of special offers from the sponsors, plus a list of the best WordPress plugins and services that will save you a load of time trying to find the best recommendation, all the stuff that we recommend we have used ourselves. You can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. What more could you ask for, my beloved WordPress professionals?
A dollar.
Yeah, you can't resist. I'm not going to say the next bit.
You've
spoiled it every week.
I gave you a sabbatical for 2 months.
Yeah,
that joke. It's time for it to come back for the summer.
Yeah, there we go. So let's delve into it. So Robert decided to have a little chat publicly with Kevin Gehry on their WP Town Hall hybrid stroke Twitter stroke podcast community, whatever it is. And it was about Kevin's statement that if you're doing websites for less than $5,000, you should stop doing it. And you decided to go on, Robert, but, you know, I listened to the conversation and there was bits that I agreed with from you and Kevin, but I just felt that you were kind of, you weren't really communicating him or you. You were kind of just talking past one another. But what was, you know, obviously, I think I'm correct in saying, Robert, that you're not that friendly with Kevin. And there's certain aspects of that I really don't want to cover, because that's you, between you and him. It's got nothing to do with me or this panel. But what's your main critical logical problems with Kevin's position that you shouldn't really work on projects less than $5,000?
I just think it's inherently wrong, both from a technical standpoint of telling freelancers and developers or designers that they shouldn't work at this level, because now he's telling them that the businesses that are worth that can't spend the $5,000 aren't real businesses. So he's blanketly saying anybody that doesn't work at his level is inherently trash and they're not real. And I disagreed with that, because if someone can work for $62.50 an hour and do 40 hours worth of work, that's $2,500. And if you can't, as a professional, build a solid website in 1 week's time when you have the tools at your disposal to do it, I just feel like maybe you're not in the right profession, or you're just looking at it in a way that's just more about the money and what you're extracting from it than what you're giving back. That's been my main gripe, is there's an arbitrary dollar amount instead of what you're actually putting out. I can build a landing page in 30 minutes to an hour that does everything he says it's supposed to do, and I'm supposed to now charge thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for that half an hour's worth of work. And it just doesn't seem fair. I don't want to live like that. And then I was told that I was wrong for not wanting to live that way, without any real actual valid reasoning other than propping up yourself and saying, I need this amount of money, or I can't say that my work is valid.
Yeah, I think the core of your argument, when you strip away the animosity that you and Kevin have took for one another, is reasonably logical, Robert. Mark, it's a semi-free market, you know, and I think the crux of it is, if you're just building something and it's very clear what you're building, and you're not making very artificial claims that the client is going to get this, the other, from their web presence, that you're just involved in building something for them, you're not guaranteeing results, which I don't think, even if you engage in lead generation through paid advertisement, social media management, all the other factors that are around a website, you can't guarantee that anyway. So I really couldn't understand what Kevin, apart from generating fantastic publicity for himself, and he is fantastic at that, I really didn't understand the core of his argument, really, apart that every web designer, if they want to go higher up in the food chain, fantastic for them. but what's the beef, basically? I really couldn't understand Kevin's intellectual position, basically. What's your thoughts, Mark?
Well, I also watched the debate. 3 hours of it at 2x speed, by the way. So, what I was able to pick up from Kevin's argument was, simply that if you've only got $5,000 to spend, for instance, you should spend it in other things than your website. And there are other ways to get yourself publicity without having to spend the $5,000. It could be, you know, Facebook or other types of lead generation through paid advertisement and things like that.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's also, I found that ridiculous. Do you understand how much it costs to run a paid advertisement campaign in 2025?
Sure. Yeah. It's easy to blow $5,000 if you don't know what you're talking about. And I think that Kevin's premise is Kevin's premise, which is very, you know, which works for him, which is he's got a static idea of what an agency should provide to a customer, and he's not willing to deviate from that, which works for him, and he's very good at marketing it and all of that. But I also feel at the same time that making blanket statements that are so black and white, I can give you an example. I actually have been doing a website for a gym in Milwaukee for the last 7 years. That website is a very basic, simple website. It's a local business, and it always shows up number one, number two on the Google searches and all of that. And he doesn't pay a dime. It's organic traffic. And it's because it's a local business. It's because, you know, there's not a lot of competition necessarily. And so it kind of depends on, I think there's so much gray area that to make a blanket statement of, if you're doing anything for less than $5,000, you're doing a disservice, which is, I think, what Kevin's premise is. No, I feel like if you're doing anything less for, if you don't want to do anything for less than $5,000, that works for your agency. It's that simple. But if other people want to do and whether or not a business is a viable business because they can't afford $5,000, I mean, that's kind of like a marketing point of view, right? If I can't get you to spend $5,000, I'm not doing a good job selling the value of what a website is. And if you're purely taking that marketing point of view, then sure, I can see the point. But I think that there's a lot more that goes into it. And I'm such a gray area guy. I can't make absolute statements like that. I tend to, you know, in this particular case, you know, I tend to fall on the side of Robert. When I saw that that $5,000 statement, I thought, well, you know, is this just to draw attention, or what is this for? You know, and that's great that it works for Kevin.
So thanks for that. So, Spencer, I think Kevin is a fantastic marketer and a fantastic businessman, but the intellectual core of this argument, basically, I also think the actual framework of this town hall and the way it was handled was a bit unrespectful to Robert. It was extremely hostile towards Robert to some degree. But the main problem I had, you wanted to say something there.
I just wanted to speak on that real quick. If you noticed, I wasn't supposed to last 15 minutes, and he cut me off and cussed first and got mad first. And I stayed quiet, and I let people that were in the room cut me off, and I didn't get mad about it because it wasn't about that. It was about the actual conversation. But I was there to have that, and he wasn't. And he's still not. Where is Kevin? Where are
you? I've got to be honest, Robert. I mean, if he wanted to come on the show, I wouldn't allow it because I feel the enmity between you and him. And it's some of your statements haven't been fantastic, Robert, but that's between you and him. I don't want any part of that. So I don't really see, because there's been so much enmity between you and him, having him on the show and having you on the show at the same time, even though I'm an experienced podcaster and interviewer. I've done almost 1,000 interviews. I wouldn't be comfortable in that situation, Robert. So I'm just answering. Look, you go on.
No, you delete that.
Oh, you're bright. You get the Dalek again, Robert. You get your Dalek. So let you sort that out, Robert. All right. So Spencer, I just had my real problem was the actual core of the logic, Spencer. I really didn't follow what Kevin was trying to say fundamentally.
I mean, I haven't had the pleasure of meeting Robert before. I'm glad to meet you today, by the way, because your name is well known to me. I think we see each Twitter, not X. But other than that, my take on it is kind of, not to divert around this, but to refocus the point of this. I think WordPress is wonderful and amazing because it really doesn't stand up to being defined by any one person. I myself am no stranger to drama, unafraid, unabashedly willing to go headlong into a storm. But in this particular case, I unusually will say that I don't think there's a wrong position here.
Yeah,
I think the two of you made really exceptional points. It's just a decision of which part of this gigantic marketplace do you want to focus on? I don't think there's a zero-sum game here by any means. In the same way that, you know, I'm not trying to divert it to me, but I don't like the way Mullenweg runs things, never had. I don't like the way Syed Balki does things, never will, never have. So I've decided to, instead of debating them and arguing and griping about all their bad behavior in public, spend all my energy on just finding people in alignment with the way I see the world. And it's an amazingly useful tool for those of us who've looked over the brink of mental health issues because of, in my case, physicality or stress or whatever. We all have enough to deal with without thinking that there's only one answer. So I don't mean to scold you or anybody else or Kevin. I think you actually both did a really good job holding up to your positions, which is admirable. But in this case, I just think that there's a big enough world and a big enough WordPress. Both of you have good points. Now, one last add. I have experimented with both of these. And I feel that I have evidence that you're both correct, because my business starts with free calls with no advertisement, and people who come in identify for themselves which of the things on my value ladder they want. Free, $300, 12, 25, 5 grand. And then most of the 5 grand people go on to wonderful, long, intimate relationships with me as their personal, like, Boy Friday.
That's too much information, Spencer.
It's not on a beach. It's not episode 4 of White Lotus. But it is realistic that I try to take every relationship and allow it to demonstrate to me what it is going to be financially, which is why I strongly feel that you really both are right. There's just no need to cut it off in the middle of a value letter.
Yes.
And I got to say about that.
I said on the show, there's more than one ways to the top of a mountain, and that I was the only one being told unequivocally that I was wrong. I never said he was fully wrong in the way that he was saying it. I was saying he was wrong to cut off this whole group and just pretend like they're not a part of this anymore. Some people can't spend $5,000 because they're just starting their business. Now, they're not a real business, and no one's supposed to go help them stay on WordPress. Just send them to Wix and do all these other things. That's the problem I had with it. Beyond even just the dollar amount, the philosophy behind it. What are we doing? Why aren't we helping these people grow and continue to stay within our ecosystem and stay on WordPress and learn more about it and then grow from that smaller version of the value ladder up because they see the value over time? It's possible, but I was always told that I wasn't right.
Well, Kevin's got enormous strengths, but he does demonstrate a level of black and white thinking in certain areas. What the reality of that, I really won't want to pass a comment. So, Kirk, what did you get from watching it and what's been said so far in this podcast?
Well, similar to the other folks on the call, I really don't think either party is wrong per se. You know, I'm the guy that leads the WordPress meetup in town. Like if we're going to help people in our ecosystem get started in our ecosystem and use it and get more comfortable in it, well, then yeah, that's a great way. So we can help everybody at every level. However, as an agency owner, I fully recognize that what I propose as a potential build is not just the minutes on the keyboard making reality happen. It's like when you go to get a water pump put in your car at the car dealership. They're charging you $240 a labor hour. You know, that technician's not getting $200 an hour. They're compensating for tools and a building and electricity and marketing and all that cost of, you know, cost to acquire a customer. And all of that gets factored in. So from an agency perspective, that does become part of, you know, what's offered. Part of the proposal is all of those surrounding costs. What I felt was missing in the discussion, and to be fair to Robert, he asked multiple times, what exactly does a $5,000 website look like? Because it was like, what are you going to do, dude? Does it have a CRM? Does it have an appointment setter? Is it connected to Stripe? Like for the $5,000, what am I getting? And then it devolved into like, well, it's a long one-page landing page. So I was like, okay, I'm going to listen to the 3 hours because I don't want to miss something cool. But I was like, this circle conversation still isn't defining what a real $5,000 website would be, other than the experience the client gets in working with that individual. And so, yeah, working with an individual does have a value, but it's really up to the provider to determine that value and hopefully find clients that align with that value setting. It really is just hit or miss.
Right, you know, let's go on to the next story. So I think we covered this in an adult way. Well, Google and Facebook, they're in Mark Zuckerberg and Google. We do no evil. They're in a bit of hot water, but I just have no idea if this just, you know, this will just wash away. I just don't know. The cynical side of me thinks that this is just all a waste of time. And but there seems to be people saying that it's might got to the level where both these lovely organizations might be broken up or face some consequences. What do you think, Spencer? Do you think it's all just going to disappear and wash away? Or
what I came away with from reading this article,
well, somebody's got some noise in their background.
It's playing, I can
hear it. It may be me. Hang on.
I'm sure it's you.
Yes, it's you.
Mark browsing the hub. Flying this up to you. Yeah. My takeaway from this one is that it's fascinating with the current government how they're handling corporate malfeasance. I'm not going to make a political statement. Everybody knows where I stand on this. But what I find is that the law should apply equally to everybody. So I'm not making a political statement. I just say it's interesting, for example, that certain companies who donated a certain amount of money have been given certain passes to avoid this kind of scrutiny. I think this kind of scrutiny is objectively fair. I think Google deserves scrutiny for what their advertisement practices have been. But I think that this should be applicable across the board to all corporations or companies in their same position. And so the reason that this is interesting is that we all see that a larger entity, wherever they are in whatever part of the political spectrum we're on, can do bad things or naughty things that normal companies or people don't get away with. I feel that it's important for the government to level the field, because as soon as they're allowed to do that, all hell breaks loose for consumers. For example, in the space we're in, I have shown people in almost a weekly basis, Google is whacked out of their mind. If I take a 3 second to a 3 minute video and put it on YouTube with two words that address the keywords, I'll be at the top of Google for that day, week, or month. That's whacked, because the only other way to get to the front page of Google is to pay money for advertisement that really is following some made up algorithm that they keep intentionally changing in order to make it seem like the Wizard of Oz is in control. So my takeaway of all this, for Kurt, I can see Kurt's getting all ants in his pants. Don't worry, I'm done with politics, is to say the government historically, who is one of the entities pursuing this, is the only one wielding a strong enough tool, like in the 1890s, the Clayton Act, the Sherman Act, all the antitrust acts. They're the only one wielding a strong enough tool to get a company the size of Google or Apple or anybody else to bend to their will. And if the federal government isn't going to do that, then I don't think this is going to succeed, because what's going to happen is money's going to be paid to the right people, the right place. It all goes away. And the rest of us sit there like jaws wide open. Like, why can't I do that with my parking ticket? Why can't I do that with my this or that? Because we don't have a kind of insider payola scenario. And that's the problem. There has to be a game that everybody gets to play with the same rules.
So, Kirk, I would say it's very clear that these are two monocrative, is that word? Monocrative companies that have business practices that are anti-competitive at their core. I don't know, I'm putting words in your mouth, but I would have thought you would agree with that. That, you know, what's amazed me, I don't know why, is how long they've managed to keep it going, really. But what do you think?
Amazing.
No?
No. That I believe that these court charades are just that, charades to keep us distracted, and what's really going to happen? Who's going to get broken up? Even a fine isn't a real fine. The money goes from one pile of cash to another pile of cash. And they'll find some other USAID funding source to get the money back from later. I don't have a lot of faith in any of it, because the government agencies that should be protecting us from this monopoly are using the services. So there's no way that they want to impede the use of these services or the growth of these services, right? It's like the AI thing, that the genie's out of the bottle. So what are you going to do with it now? You can't put it back in the bottle. You know, and maybe that sounds a little overly political, but I don't see it as, I think what happened is, you know, that lady put out that book called Careless People, that Sarah Wynne Williams person, and it really drew a lot of attention to the business practices and the relationships that Meta was growing internationally. And I think people in government said, ooh, we should do a distraction real quick to make it look like we're coming down on these folks, and that'll buy us another 3 or 4 years of internal espionage on our people.
Yeah, I think it's a very plausible position. So, Robert, what do you think? Do you think there's really going to be any consequences from these court cases, or do you think it's all a much about nothing? And
my heart says nothing will ever change because of how often it's never changed. But if it's going to change, it's going to take somebody with the power to come in and, for lack of a better term, cut the cancer out, remove the problem, get rid of it, and then everybody else is able to just freely do what they need to do without this one big looming problem. And if Google and Facebook is that looming problem, you get rid of that monopoly. You get rid of that structure that stayed in place for so long and has not really helped. They've hindered, they've monopolized, they've said, we're the algorithm, you have to do it this way. Maybe not, but we'll see. Someone's got to come do something about it, though.
Thanks. So, Mark, the classical way of dealing this is through fines. The other way is to break up the monopoly, i.e. the classical thing with Google would be to force them to sell YouTube, to sell Android, the advertising platform, to the telecom companies to force a level of competition in the advertising platform, i.e. break that away and allow additional competition to enter the market like we saw in the telecom industry. And the same thing with Facebook, to make them sell elements of the company that they bought. If you did have that happen, do you think these classical methods, do you think that would actually make the situation better?
I honestly don't know. I think that what we have, so going back to my somewhat childhood. We talked about the telecom Ma Bell and all that, and that turned into a kind of a fiasco over a number of years. And I kind of think of it these days, it seems like anytime anything happens, anytime the court hands down a decision or anything, these big companies have such deep pockets that A, fines are not going to really impact them. It'll impact the shareholders on a short-term basis. But they've got such huge legal teams that are just paid to find loopholes and other ways to attack the problem. And they'll just figure out another way. I mean, that's what they're paid to do. And so I don't know that, I don't even know that the courts really have the power, because the legal system is set up such that they're so convoluted and complex that all lawyers need to say is, well, you know, we don't have the answer yet, but we will. We just have to find the loopholes. And they work their magic and come up with other ways to do it. So I don't have a lot of hope. You know, I don't necessarily look at this and say, oh, well, this changes everything. But I'm more than happy to be wrong on that. That's where I'm at on it.
Yeah, totally understandable. Well, we've had a good conversation. We've got some fabulous stories, especially the first one. I think that's really delicious. We're going to go for our middle break. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code PODCAST20. That's PODCAST20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. I think he looks more awake than what Kevin was looking when he came on the show last month. He was nodding off. We've had a great discussion. But before we go into the second half, just want to point out, if you're looking for a great hosting partner and a great back-end support system as well for your big membership and your community projects, why don't you look at partnering up with WP Tonic? We offer some great plans, and we have become your back-end support system when you're building out something bigger than you normally would take on. It's a great resource for the freelancer. To find out more, why don't you go over to wp-tonic.com/partners, wp-tonic.com/partners. Let's build something special together. So let's go straight into it. So story three, I changed it, hopefully but I'll put the update in the Google calendar. The boss attempts to unblock. So Matt Manweg, he put out a tweet, saying he's attempting to unblock everybody. You can come back. You're wanted. Even Spencer might be wanted back. He's shaking his head. He doesn't look too impressed. I'm going to let him. So what do you reckon, Spencer? Is it nice to be wanted back again, Spencer?
Reality doesn't match his statement. I am in a really rough, you know, for me, like, I don't know why, maybe because I went out to a baseball game last night. I'm in a very relatively mellow mood when I
see this. Yeah, I can see it. You're not normally.
Do you feel my chill vibe? I mean, if I'm at a normal, like a 12 out of 10, I'm at like a 4 out of 10 today. But I want to say something.
It's the weed.
I want to say the old Spence is still here under the hood. One is that it's encouraging to me on a human level that whether it be the Pope passed away or he felt like he looked in the mirror one day or the lawyers talked to him or he just figured out like maybe I should reconsider my position, to at least have him like look over his shoulder back towards the people that he just tried to roll over is encouraging. That shows some degree of self-awareness. That's step one. However, I have my own story, which I'm more than happy to share here in very limited detail, that A, I have not been unblocked personally. I have been tweeting to him directly and him back and forth to me. He knows I'm here and I've emailed him and I've sent him courtesy copies of what to me feels like, ironically, do you remember the story I told of Nang and how my company got shut down and we had all the communication and I got 5 publications in TechCrunch where I published all the correspondence for Andreessen and Gina Bianchini? I did it all because as an attorney and as a human being, I felt the public should see the facts as they live. Somebody at WordPress.org, I'm about 99.9999% sure it's Otto.
I'm afraid Otto
is the one.
The C-sharp, black C.
I'm not, I wish I was joking. Because it would be funny if it wasn't so sad. There's somebody on the plugin review team decided to punish me beyond any reasonable mean because of a minor technicality about something in my free plugin using a free GitHub repository to allow for updates, which is something that 10,000 plugins do all day long. But they decided not just to take the plugin out or say, oh, you're being naughty. You're gone. And it was the day after our show here. Now, I asked for my reinstatement, not because I give one shit, but rather to see if Mullenweg is sincere. And it's been 3, 4, 5 days now. I've had a whole bunch of emails, which I will publish publicly, that are essentially from somebody who must be Otto, because all he keeps asking for is me to beg and apologize. So I officially wrote out a full apology, signed it, said, I accept everything is all me. I'm all wrong. I deserve all the thing. Could I please, pretty please with sugar on top, be allowed to be back in? Still nothing. So whatever Matt is doing or not doing, my suggestion is that he best apply that to the people on the team, including the password recovery master, who 100% I think now must be Otto, because when you go into the Slack on WordPress, you see who's on the team saying what. And Otto is the only one. He's just banging away on everything. And he has always been the henchman, the Mullenweg, very parallel to lots of other fascist organizations where somebody decides what they're going to do. And so for me personally, along with Say Reed and all the other people, like, we all got kicked out for bullshit reasons and we really aren't affected whether he lets us in, but it'd be really interesting if he's sincerely looking to apologize, not to fuck with us at that level. Because as soon as you dangle that out, you're just opening up a whole nother can of hurt that people like me are prepared to unleash, because he's already in a whole world of trouble in the legal system. And this is just demonstrating how capricious and, you know, singularly controlled this entire thing is. And not even by him, perhaps, because I don't think Matt is unlocking it, but he's been CC'd on all of these. So I essentially closed with, I apologize. It's all wrong. Everything I did to hurt everybody in the community by offering a free update through GitHub instead of through your control gate. Pretty please let me back in. There you go. And crickets. So we'll see if anything changes.
So, Robert, what do you reckon?
I have been the same way I am with Kevin that I was with Matt. That's the same thing as I was last year with my endeavors and the way that I direct myself when I feel like I'm not being heard. I feel like someone's not paying attention to the actual message. So eventually it just gets bigger and bigger until someone finally looks and sees. If he's willing to open up and do this, then got to see it out, see what happens. You can't just jump in immediately. Everyone's been asking him to do these things. Everyone's been saying, let's have some type of change. He's coming out and saying that now. I can't personally just go, hey, I'm going to do the same exact thing I did last year just because he's allowing me to talk to him now. That's weird. So I'm going to give it time. You know, good things take time. You never know. we'll see.
This, by the way, I agree with Robert, but I just want to say, this is an example, not you, Robert. This is Matt Mullenweg's example of passive aggressive behavior to its ultimate degree, because he just puts this little fish hook loaded with the little, oh, it's all different now. It takes time. No, it does not. It would have taken less time to let me in than to send me 4 passive aggressive emails and all the rest of the stuff that whoever's doing it. It would take less time to just tell somebody, unlock everybody and start over. He's messing with everybody. And that is not the thing to do when you're in a vulnerable position, in my opinion. You don't continue to poke at the bear that already has its jaws around your ankle.
Go on, Robert.
I was going to say, I agree with that. I think that time is one thing. Timing is everything. But you can't just drag it on forever. It's, something's got to shift. Something's got to change at some point. So I agree with that totally.
So, Mark, what do you think the driver of this is? You know, the cynical side of me. I'm English, so it's mostly cynical. Is that he's just got some new PR disaster, you know, disaster recovery PR firm in, and they just advised him that this ain't a great look, or and that's why he's done it. But I hope I'm wrong in a way. What do you reckon?
Okay, 2 things I want to say here. Well, 3 things. 1, until I read Twitter yesterday, I did not realize Spencer was so persona non grata. The other thing is, I think we saw a little bit under the hood there, Spencer. I think that.
Can I interrupt, Mark? Just for a second.
No, you cannot. Yeah, go.
Oh, go on. I don't think it was Otto. I actually think it was the boss that banged you, Spencer, because I got so much.
Who do you think?
I think it was the boss that banged you, not Otto. I got so much heat because of your remarks on that show, Spencer. It was.
I think that I'm just going to tell you what I know. Okay, just factually, the reason I got in trouble for the LaunchKit plugin was because the new guy, who I am not going to say his name, there's a guy who's not from the United States. He speaks Spanish, though. You can figure out who it is, who's in charge of the plugin review, decided that I was naughty. But when I just suggested to him and backed it up with facts, there's 1,000 plugins, starting with Syed's Optin Monster, that do 10 times worse mime. The double standard that comes out is, I told you what to do. The guideline applies to you differently than him. Don't talk about what other bad things are happening with other people. I don't want to hear about it. And because you're not nice for mentioning that, by the way, very respectfully, you're gone. 18 years is gone, which just coincided, by the way, the same day as the show here. So I'm sure there was a call. But the thing that's so funny to me, why this is all so absurd, is there's nothing for me in WordPress.org. Like, literally, I have, let's just be honest, Spence has a lot of ways to see what's in WordPress.org without being Spencer at 1WDTV. I'm just more curious to see what Mullenweg is really going to do. And the final straw as to why this is all disingenuous, go to WordPress.org, anybody, to the login. And there's still the stupid pineapple pizza. There's still the I pledge allegiance to Matt Mullenweg checkboxes. That doesn't take time to change. Just take that shit out of there.
Yeah, I think he would be advised to do that. Sorry, Mark. Go on. Sorry,
that's right.
I apologize.
I think what we're looking at here is, look, the WordPress community and part of being a human should be the capacity to forgive. So I am willing to forgive past actions, but like everyone else says, it's a wait and see sort of thing. Secondly, this is just, so assuming we're dealing with a narcissist, I'm not saying that he is because I'm not a clinical psychologist or anything like that, but assuming we are dealing with a narcissist, this is a control thing, okay? So you can exercise control in a good way, you can exercise control in a bad way, but this kind of mentality of, oh, I'm going to do it slowly, or it's going to happen slowly, it's going to happen, just not yet, that's just another way of saying, oh, I have control. Okay. So It's just another way of showing that. And then the making you, you know, bend at the knee and all that, that's just all, it's all control thing. And whether it's Matt doing it or Otto doing it or who cares who's doing it, it's all, that's all speculation. It's still a way to show ultimately one person has control and ultimately one person is going to exercise that control. That's kind of how I see it.
So Kirk, you are naughty, you know, this message. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory strikes again. So what do you reckon?
I was not affected by any said actions, but I have to agree with Spencer on this. To promote, like, look what I'm going to do. It's going to take some time. Maybe I'm going to walk back some actions I took this year. The week the press conf is happening and apparently is some kind of undaunted success, I find the timing rather strange. It would have been so much better to just unblock everybody, not say a stinking word, and then have a Spencer Foreman or a Say Reed or a someone jump on and go, hey, oh my goodness, look, I'm in. Hey, did they lift the block? And then he could come in like the savior and go, oh yeah, I forgot to post about that. I let everybody in last week. But that's not the way it went.
Gaslighting. Yep. Sorry. By definition, gaslighting. It's you. All of you must have something wrong. This takes time. Be patient. Check the checkbox. Remove the one line of code I put in while I was having an issue being polite. The thing I don't like about humanity, because I love human beings and I love the idea of humanity, is when people don't see themselves in the same way that others do and believe that other people don't have the capacity to an apple's an apple, an orange is an orange. They just see it as it is. And this person thinks they have some kind of voodoo over people. And it makes it so much worse because, you know, a person could be a monster and ask for forgiveness. And most human beings will give them that. That's the golden rule I follow. But I think you can't give it when you're being gaslit.
Recognize my genius.
Well, you just can't be gaslit. You know, you can't like literally have somebody apologizing, you know, wearing a red shirt saying, look at this blue shirt. I apologize. I mean, just be all in or not. That's all.
So you got something to say, Robert?
Yeah, I was just going to say, for the record, my .org account was never blocked. I was allowed to.
Well, he wasn't coming on his show.
And you very publicly pulled all of your plugins off of the repository, didn't you, Robert?
Yeah. That was just recently. Like I put the same GitHub updates in, but I put them in and then waited for the people that have been using my plugins to update them. Then I closed them out after a while. Then I mentioned it this way. They knew. And it wasn't just me trying to like screw them over. I was trying to help my users get off of that platform to still be able to use the plugins. Because at the end of the bit, that's what it was about. It was the people.
Can I ask something, Robert?
Anything. I'm an open book.
Yeah. Generally, you're very polite, easygoing. The private conversations, you've been extremely polite to me and really quite easy to talk to and work with. But your Twitters and your persona on Twitter, I thought I was blunt. I thought I was, you make me, I get cold when I, what, is it late at night or is it just the hidden side of you? It doesn't really match up when I've dealt with you because you're so easygoing and so polite.
Everything with me is extreme. I'll love hard, I'll fight hard, I'll laugh hard. It just depends on the mood that I'm in at that moment and who I'm discussing things with. Like you said, I can talk to you. I've talked to a lot of people in the actual community privately in conversations on video at places I used to work. They'll all tell you I'm happy. I'm genuinely happy 90% of my life. It's just when stuff like this happens, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a childhood trauma. Who knows? But I just can't put up with it. I won't allow it. And someone's got to say something. So if no one else will, I'll do it. And I, for the record, this has never been unhinged. I'm offline. You can find me unhinged if you really wanted to, but that's not this. That's not what this is for. I say things so people will finally listen in a way that they weren't listening to before. And that's all. And then now people apparently are listening, because what I'm hearing is at press conf, a lot of people are talking. So we'll see what happens.
All right. On to the next story. Oh, this is delicious. This got me.
By the way, do you guys understand? I was sad that I couldn't go to press conf for a couple of reasons. My son is coming back from school and stuff. But isn't it ironic and wonderful and delicious? The press conf, I think, is and will become the actual definitive place for WordPress professionals to be, because WordCamp has devolved into like blocking people out, right? Like Yoast, right? Blocking somebody of that magnitude, let alone the bullshit that's gone on for years with like how you can advertise and how you have to kiss the ring and all this stuff. So this is a really wonderful example of how the world can just move around problems, because those that have a dedicated interest in working together can row that boat. And I think that's what really is exemplary here of why Mullenweg and Otto and whoever else is following this should pay heed. The number one mistake he made was that he did this open source. That's his whole Achilles heel. And it's so weirdly ironic, as I said before, for me, 20 years later, because Ning could kick 12,500 people out. Elon Musk or Twitter can do the same. Anybody can do it on a SaaS platform. Mullenweg can't un-open source this, and he can't even do it to the events. So if he's really not interested in being contrite or fixing the problem before it gets away from him financially or otherwise, this would be a really good time, because everybody's starting to figure out how to talk with ourselves. And it's just, it's amazing and wonderful, because we're all still human enough to say, you know, Matt, if you're really sincere, we really enjoy you as a human being, but not this version of you. And
yeah, right. On to the
next extension, Marie Antoinette.
Yeah. On to this story. I kind of posted some stuff on my Facebook, which I normally, it's got a different crowd that follows me on that. And it was the, why does everyone hate Katy Perry so much? I don't agree. I don't think everything, but it was a story about this bizarre, I mean, I saw it as the eat cake moment. Not quite, but it just kind of it just set me off. This Blue Origin space flight where these 6 1 percenters got blasted off for 10 minutes into space, and by a guy that's one of the richest men in the world, and he could be a super villain out of a James Bond film. With these bimba. Sorry, you're not going to like me using this word, Robert, but I don't mean it as a general, I'm going to use the word bimbos, but I mean it's more linked to them being one percenters, really, Robert. So I'm probably using the wrong word. So I just found the whole thing. And then the remark from one of them that compared her flight to Alan Shepard. You know, whatever, I kind of see as Alan Shepard as a kind of American hero. You know, you could criticize me for that, but to compare your 10-minute flight to Alan Shepard just shows me how totally out of touch in reality you are. You know, how you're totally lost. What do you reckon, Kirk? You know, am I on to something? Or what was your reaction to this flight of fantasy, as I call it?
I thought the same that most people thought when they first started covering it. Like, oh, what a cool ride. Like, there's no pilot, right? It doesn't have a captain of the ship, right? It's programmed up, it's programmed down, it's a ride. And, you know, he got himself, you know, some models and dressed them up and put him in this thing. And it was a great stunt. It's what I thought.
In the phallus.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, yeah, you know, cool effort, right? And then it all got blown up and it went crazy. And people are like, Katy Perry's an idiot. And I can't believe she's kissing the ground. And, you know, and then Oprah's girlfriend is saying, well, have you ever done it? You would know if you did it. It's like, you almost feel sorry for them. And I know that people would hear me say this on the show and be like, Kurt's an idiot. But I mean, to be that disconnected from reality, or to not even really understand what you even believe or espouse, because these are the same people that would talk about, you know, the environment, right? Well, what did they put in the air launching that thing? You know, it's just all the constant contradictions of being a human and having that human experience, but being so far disconnected. They want to be liked and loved by all of us, but they don't even understand who we are.
I just found the whole thing, you know, the attempt to link it to women empowerment, then to link it to the environmental issues. When you're burning, you're sending a rocket that's going to pollute a very sensitive part of the atmosphere. The whole thing, it was one of the most wacko events I've ever witnessed, really.
It's another one of those misread marketing events. You know, a lot of major companies have had some really big marketing mistakes over the last few years. And I would say that this Blue Origin thing, this is their big mistake. Just wrongly played.
So, Mark, what did you make of it all?
Rich people doing rich people things. And, you know, I don't know. I am curious as to, and I honestly, I haven't followed, other than, you know, me getting on my moral high horse and say, gosh, all that money could have been used for so many other good things, blah, 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 you know, all that. I really don't care. My question, because I don't care, I haven't followed it as closely as a lot of other people have. But my question is, how is this different than the time that William Shatner went up in Blue Origin, and how come nobody made that a big deal? In fact, William Shatner came back and he's like, oh, my whole life changed in that one moment and yada, 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 yada. And everyone's like, oh, such deep words from William Shatner. So my question is, what's the difference between William Shatner's rich people, and this one?
He's
Captain Kirk, Mark. He's Captain Kirk.
Okay.
He has real space experience in make-believe.
I'm a big Star Trek fan. I am. If you ask me Star Trek, Star Wars, I'm like, look, I look forward to the society that is Star Trek over the society that is Star Wars. Okay. But I don't care that he was Captain Kirk. He's still William Shatner. So, you know.
So that's the only thing I was a bit worried about, Robert, because if they had been six celebrity guys, would I be criticizing so much? And I don't honestly know, Robert, but it was all the optics. I don't think it wasn't my main criticism wasn't that they were women, really, Robert. I'm deluding myself. I don't think so, Robert. It was the whole pantomime. It was the whole thing. The dripping self-righteousness of the whole event. I just found it nauseating. I don't know, Robert. What do you reckon?
Well, I didn't see it. I honestly don't watch the news. I don't keep up with this stuff. So I didn't even know what anyone was talking about when I read it. Not the Katie I want to talk about. So I'll pass.
All right. Fair enough. What do you reckon, Spencer?
Well, first of all, I think Katy Perry is just attention getting because she's a celebrity and she hasn't had as much good luck. I think she's very talented, but I mean, I think her window passed and her publicity team is grasping for straws. But because she's the last person you think of for scientific or knowledge or exploration, she's taken the brunt of it. I personally think Lauren Sanchez is worse because Lauren Sanchez is like the Cruella de Vil of, compare her to Mackenzie Bezos. Mackenzie Bezos was around with the formation and I'd say instrumental in the creation of Amazon, got her fair 50% and has been working every day tirelessly to give it away for the betterment of humanity. Lauren Sanchez has basically hooked into that money train and used it for the nicest way to say personal use only. On her face, on her body, on her wedding, on her trips. And for her to go up there and then come down and kiss the ground is literally the 2025 Marie Antoinette, let him eat cake moment. And I think that Bezos himself is one of those guys we were referring to earlier when I say they feel they're bulletproof. I gave $1 million to somebody, I'm good. Okay. And that's it. And I think that's unfortunate because the good that can be done can be demonstrated by his ex-wife, who is really from the same company, same story, same money, and she's out there doing great stuff. It doesn't have to be anything about the space trip, which, by the way, as a pilot, I am a pilot, that was not space flight. That was a parabolic arc. You can do something very similar in a KC-110. You know, when they do this training for anti-gravity, they just do this parabolic curves. That's all it was. It was very exciting, but it was in no way, shape, or form like leaving and going into orbit.
I think it was King's remark comparing herself to Alan Shepard that really got me going, Spencer.
You know, but she's just thought, I mean, I don't have any beef with her or Oprah, but she's living like her thought.
Wasn't the whole Alan Shepard comparison that it was the same orbit or the same trajectory as Alan Shepard's first?
It was
That's what it was. I thought it was something like that.
Oh, I didn't realize that, maybe. But
I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Okay.
I just don't think.
I don't think Robert did. So,
yeah. It's besides the point, really, because at the end of the day, all that we're talking about is everybody's entitled to whatever publicity they want. But this is not a spacecraft. This is a gajillionaire's toy that isn't keeping up with the other gazillionaire's toys. So he needs to make a let's do something to get some attention moment. Put my girlfriend and a bunch of other women on it and pretend it's something it isn't.
Right, panel. Do you want to continue a bit longer for the other two stories, or do you prefer that we wrap it up now, my beloved panel?
I've got a few more minutes.
What about you, Spencer?
I can go like 5 more minutes.
Yeah, right. Robert?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, so we continue. On to the next story. Why WordPress maintenance could be the key to freelance business is the story from WP Minute. Well, I don't think it was... I just put this to you, panel. I don't think it will save it. I think it'll be part. I think supporting websites... We do a lot of this at WP Tonic. It's very time consuming. I have a small team that helps me, but some days I'm just doing support tickets myself. Even though I have a couple of people that help me. I just do it to keep myself in the loop. But also we have built a nice book of business, but it's taken me about 4 or 5 years, and people are very resistant, unless they're making any kind of money from their website, to have any kind of real support maintenance plans, in my experience. So, Robert, what's your view of this article and your own experience?
You know, like you said, I think it's a part of it, but I don't think for a specific, like you said, you're overwhelmed sometimes with the amount of it. How can you scale that unless you add more people to your team and put more bodies behind the seats, or learn AI to let the AI communicate, and that gets better over time? But as someone that's a smaller scale, if you're looking to grow your business, there's a certain amount you can do. And maybe if you play it right and you maximize, say, hey, we're doing 2 hours a month at this rate, you can reach out and every request is at least 15 minutes off the time at least, and we'll give you an estimate beforehand, and you can play that right. But I think that it's short-sighted to think that's the only thing. We all build stuff. Why can't everybody build products? If you're number one for freelance web designer or freelance WordPress designer in Google, you could build products to sell lower end like themes and plugins and things like that to the people that are landing on your page. There's a lot of different things you can do other than just productizing yourself and your time.
What do you reckon, Mark?
Well, you're talking to a guy who represents a company that this is a core of our business is selling our product to agencies that do website maintenance plans. And I think one of the key values here that Matt brings up in this article is the fact that it's a fantastic opportunity to maintain and continue to build your relationship with your clients. If once a month you're sending them a report that shows analytics and all these things in this nice little, you know, package that you give them, then they understand what they're paying for. They understand the value of what you're providing. So I think I find it interesting that a lot of people don't want to do it. I would think that most people would want to do it because it's a perfect opportunity to stay in contact with your clients and to continue to provide that value and stay front and center on a monthly basis or quarterly basis or however often you.
Well, I think I can give some insight here, Mark, is that if you get it up to a level where it's making a real difference, you're getting it up to the level where you've got a large project and you've got a deadline or you're doing, and unfortunately, that's when it always happens, Mark. That's when you're going to get a day where you're going to get every Tom, Dick and Harry that's on a support package contacting you at the same time. And every problem's going to be urgent. And if you're freelancing, you're just doing it yourself and you're trying to deal with this large project or couple large, because they all tend to stagger on longer than they should. As your experience, you learn this, you know, these projects tend, especially the bigger ones, they tend to go on and on and on a bit. And you're trying to get it out the door and get on to the next project, which you bidded and you succeeded. And then you got all on top, you're pulling your hair out a little bit if you've got any hair. And then but that doesn't matter. But if you've only got a few on maintenance, it's not really making a big difference anyway. But the agency, you're kind of aimed at the agency where that's more bodies. So that doesn't, what I've applied, what I think is my insight, which you could criticize, doesn't really apply so much, because that's an agency. You've got people, there's more than one, basically. So what do you reckon, Spencer? Am I just talking dribble?
No, I just think I personally have found that the relationship, I mentioned the value ladder that I offer. The relationship that really works for me is the recurring value of having somebody think of me as the person to call all the time for everything regarding their technology, their strategy, the marketing automation. Because it doesn't have to be that I have them locked into a contract or if I have a monthly amount that's fixed. What I find is the people want to have, you know, better call Saul. Like, they want to have my number, or sometimes it's just out of the blue. I have a question. I give them a free time. I like to catch up. Hey, what's been going on? I don't ask them in advance, but when that call reveals that they need some hands-on help, magically 300, 600, 1200, I mean, you know, cash falls out of the sky. That's not that dissimilar from what I used to charge as an attorney or get as an attorney. And that's a nice business when you spread it out over hundreds or thousands of people that don't have maybe deep commitments, but think of you. So there you go. I mean, in the early days when WordPress was a lot more slashing through the woods with machetes, I went from having a large group of recurring hosted clients to say, I don't want this anymore. And then, but right after COVID or COVID-y time, I was like, I got to go back to that, because the stability of that is going to match up with what I think is happening in technology, where I'm selling the relationship. I'm not selling the technology anymore. The technology is way too fast for any of us to sell. By itself.
All right, on to the last story, which I like us to cover before we call it a day. This is another delicious one. It came up, all right. California cities are trying to figure out how fake voices mocking Musk and Zuckerberg were added to crosswalks. You know, those crosswalks, I find them quite irritating, that they've got them in Reno and you press the button and you get this voice blaring out every 5 seconds. Don't move. Don't move, like you're some idiot that you can't make any judgment call. But I suppose if you've got a sight problem, I suppose, so I'm probably not right there. You know, it's just I'm English, old, snotty. So, but somebody hacked in and put these voices on. It's just delicious. So, Robert, what did you... Did you find this story delicious, Robert?
Hack the planet. Hack it all. Why not?
Hack it all.
If you watch the movie, there was a point to all that, too. There's always a point to stuff, even if you don't see it at first. They're making a message, they're taking a stand, and you're making a statement with that. I respect it. Yeah. Nobody was harmed. Nobody was hurt.
Yeah, it was delicious. So, Mark, I've just found it. It tickled me. What about you, Mark?
I thought it was funny. I'm waiting for it to come to a city near me, which is, you know, not too far from where they're talking about. So, it's anytime, you know, anytime anyone can figure out a way around the system to do something that brings a smile to my face and also shows establishment that, that they're not so infallible, I'm all for it. And so, yeah, I'm good with it. and it made me laugh.
So just to ask you a quick follow-up question, Spencer, just to end the show. You know, Tesla got hammered the last quarter, and Musk, I think the realities of the situation that he has constructed are starting to hit home. What was your own thoughts, Spencer?
Cautiously optimistic that the world can self-correct by the people in the world who are not participatory at the top level, realizing that there's more of us than more of them, even if they're telling us we're on opposite sides of the fence, because I don't think we are. Like the rich dude, like watching the two neighbors kill each other across the fence, that in my head is what's happening here, has been happening for a while. And the only time that we ever see that fall apart, which is encouraging, is when people go, I've known you a long time. This doesn't smell right. Like they're, you know, and I think that's what we all have to learn here is that human beings, when given too much power, it amplifies and magnifies their worst behaviors. Corporations do that in infinite degrees because there's no personal accountability. When you put that at the governmental level, the political level of the world governments and stuff, it becomes really problematic because people think that literally I could treat a whole swath of human beings like commodity. You know, you have a tattoo, you're going off to this country, or you're a company who pays this much money, you don't have to have your stuff tariffed, or you broke the law and you don't have, it doesn't matter. And you could say the same thing for the other side. I mentioned a few recent ones, but like you can get a blowjob in the office and it's not good for the country. You shouldn't get away with it. Like whatever. Point is, normal people should be the same at corporate levels and at governmental levels, because until that's happening,
you know, yeah. It is. I think it's been the biggest destruction of a global brand ever observed. I'm not sure if it's recoverable. I don't have
Tesla enough. Itself as a car doesn't have a chance of recovering because the Chinese have, they're the best of this. That car, whatever that thing is called, is supposedly awesome. It's like every best feature of electric car, and at a price that's like buying a Kia or, you know, like a basic car. There's no coming back from that. Then the Cybertruck and all that fiasco, it's a plastic truck and things have fallen off of it. I mean, just how are you going to come back from that? On top of which, his primary customers are the people that he's not only alienating, but trying to destroy their lives politically. I mean, great business model. That is just go borrow some more money, shorting your stock, claiming you're not to be taxed because you don't make any money when you apparently have a value of $400 trillion that you can borrow against because of the value of the very stock you're not being taxed on. I mean, makes perfect sense to normal people.
It does. All right. Thank you, panel. So, Robert, what's the best way for people to find out more about, I suppose it's Twitter, isn't it, Robert? So what's the best way to find out more about you, Robert?
RobertDevore.com. And then on Twitter, you can find me at Devio Robert. I'm there all the time.
You are. I don't know where you get the time from, Mark. I haven't got the time for it, Robert. I'm sorry. I'm just struggling to make a living. Mark.
You can find me on Twitter at Mark Benzak, LinkedIn, Mark Benzkane. Just Google me. You can find me.
Right. And I suppose the best place not to find you, Spencer, is WordPress.com.
For me, on the login page, WordPress.org. Eating pineapple pizza, hoping for Otto to let me in so I can do whatever it is they think is so valuable there. But and also,
there's no
find me at Spencer Foreman for all the relatively low key lately political and other conversations. I'm really trying to keep it focused on the thing that's most important to me because really I feel imperative. Time is an imperative at the moment for many of us, but for me in particular, time is the one thing that I just. don't have enough of. And I have so many problems that are at a personal level that I feel are necessary for me to solve. I'm exhausted by having that energy and time dragged out of me because I don't feel the spit and vinegar of youth is still in there somewhere, but like it's tempered.
Yeah, the way I deal with it is I put my shoes in my parents when they were very young, and my father, who was a captain in the Grenadier Guards, you know, who won the Military Cross and served with Americans and Canadians on D-Day. And my mother, you know, my mum and dad faced a situation where the whole country was going to be destroyed, and then they had to deal. My father got injured. It was an American surgeon that helped my father. It was a Canadian paramedic that helped my father. When you look at their challenges, what we are challenged on is nothing.
It's not an existential threat at the moment. It's close, but not like there's airplanes bombing your cities. I mean, that's nuts, you know.
Yes. So you got to try and put things in perspective. It's been a great show, folks. Thank you for support. If you want to support the show, go over to the WP Tonic YouTube channel. You'll be able to watch the whole show there as well if you're listening to it. And subscribe to the channel. That's a really great way to support the podcast and what we do at WP Tonic, which doesn't make too much money, makes enough to cover the expenses, but I do it to support WordPress. I'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.